Last week was a very difficult week when John stood here and announced at the end of the service that the elders were standing down and that we were putting in place a process to allow us to elect new elders. Some of you were shocked, some of you were surprised, some were happy. So, as I look at today and standing up here before you now, this will certainly be my last sermon as an elder of Strathmore Christian Fellowship. And we're still very close to the beginning of the year, not just a new year, but a new decade and a new start for the church here as well. So if you bear with me, I just want to reminisce a bit about Strathmore Christian Fellowship. I came to this church back in 2005 when I returned to the UK with my family. We found the church very open. We found it very friendly and welcoming. And at that time, it had a large number of youth, which was a big plus for our children. None of the other churches in the area that we visited had any teenagers. So after praying about it, we knew this was the place that God wanted us to be. All three children went through the waters of baptism while they were part of this church. And this was Melanie's last church before she went home to be with the Lord. And over the years, the church has been involved in some fantastic ministries. When we go right back to the start, I think of the PWAM Challenger bus from Perth that used to come up to the hill to speak to the youth and get the youth involved. We held monthly dinner meetings that were initially in the Airlie Arms Hotel and subsequently in the Royal Hotel on the Forfar after the Airlie closed down. In 2010, we bought the property in Bank Street. And we had lots of camaraderie, mostly as men, I must admit, as we demolished the inside of the building and put up all the new structures that went inside and made that building ready for the professional plumbers and electricians and tradesmen who came in. So then in 2011, Bridges Cafe opened and the first floor rooms were used for various meetings and for band practice. The two top floor rooms were used initially as an office come meeting room where the elders used to meet on the top floor of Bridges when I first became an elder. And the other room was a prayer room. The meeting room on the top floor subsequently became the storeroom for the food bank when it opened in 2012. And one of the first floor rooms became the distribution center that we used for the clients when they would come in and collect their food from us. 2012 also saw our first fun day to correspond with the opening of the London Olympics. Martin Park was hired. We had our own Olympic torch ceremony. DD8 and the Forfar Pipe Band provided the music on that day. Fun activities were available for all the kids. And in the evening, we settled down to watch the opening ceremony on a big screen TV that was mounted on the back of a lorry. And we had a picnic in the park with free hamburgers. And then, a few weeks later, we had a closing day of the Olympics when we had a fun day down at the grounds at Webster's High School. Again, there were activities for young and old, and again, free food was provided. And we think in those events, we probably had 800 to 1,000 people that attended those two events themselves. We had another fun day in 2013 that was just at Webster's. Nothing great attached to it other than involving the community in a fun day. Then in 2014, we teamed up with the Commonwealth Baton Relay and had a fun day at Kerry Hill. For we were a stop-off point for the baton as the baton went round Kerry on its way down to Glasgow for the start of the Commonwealth Games. And in 2015, we held what was then a final fun day on the hill. These days were great to raise awareness of our fellowship and to join in with the local community and get them involved and help them to see what we were doing. Apart from those, we've also participated in 4 of the biennial Kirinu Relay for Life events that have taken place. We've had stalls at the Kerry Agricultural Show. We participated in the Kerry Festival when we'd live music in Bridges and handed out cups of soups to revellers in the evening. And more recently, we've run an Alpha courses both in Bridges and have the Youth Alpha that's presently running in Webster's High School. For me, many of that is the highlights of what we've been engaged in as a church with the community here. But what impact has that actually had in all that we've done? Sadly, I think not a lot. Have we seen our church grow through any of these activities that we've done? Not really. Have we seen many people being saved and brought to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in this time? Not really. We had a prophecy a few years ago that described us as standing at a crossroads. And as a church, I think we've made our camp at this crossroads and haven't moved from that crossroads, despite our efforts. And now, I think we're not at a crossroads anymore, but that crossroads has turned into a precipice. And we could all be about to fall over the edge. So, church, what are we all about? Why do we come here every Sunday? Is it just a time when we can meet together, have some great worship like we've had this morning? Somebody then comes up and talks to us about God's word, and we go home. But what impact does it have on us? What's the purpose of us being here? And I think it's important that we're here on a Sunday. Don't get me wrong as far as that's concerned. I think the times that we have here on a Sunday is times of connecting with God. It's times of learning more about his word. It's times of growth. And the Bible says to us in Hebrews 10:25, do not give up the habit of meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. It's very important that we meet together. But it's not the meeting together here on a Sunday that's the important part of church, as far as I'm concerned. Over the last few weeks, we've spoken about love, we've spoken about pruning, and we've spoken about seasons, as Jonathan mentioned already this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And in verse 13 of that chapter, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. John 3:16 tells us, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And it was only when I read that again this yesterday as I was going through this, I realized that God prunes every single branch. Not just the good branches or the bad branches that he prunes, but it says there, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So he's got his scissors out on each one of us, regardless of what's going on in our lives. And why does he do it? The verse goes on to say, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, us, the church, being the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. So, church, here we stand. A new year, a new decade, a new beginning for Strathmore Christian Fellowship. We've looked at it, and I think it was Derek that mentioned Winston Churchill a couple of weeks ago. Is this the beginning of the end of the beginning, or what? I don't know. That's all in God's hands. So we shouldn't be looking at what has happened in the past, but we should be looking to the future for what God wants for us for the future. And with that, quote springs to mind that doesn't come from anybody. It seems to be just be unattributed. But it's, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always got. Is that what we're looking for as we move forward? And if that's not what we're looking for, how do we change it? How do we change it, church? It's not just about doing the same or changing the people at the top. It's how do we change the church? And I want to look as well at Luke 18, verses 10 to 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Says there, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Pharisee in this passage announces all of his external action, but says nothing about what's going on inside, such as growing in love, or patience, or kindness. He's more concerned with comparing himself to those around than anything else. Where have we settled for competing with others instead of striving to be like Jesus? Where have we compromised because of our peers or our leaders? I pray that we would seek first the Lord's righteousness, that he'll deliver us from comparisons and competition, and grant us humility to see us as he sees us and to do what he calls us to do. So what does God want us to do? What are we here for? I could have picked out lots of different scriptures as far as that's concerned, but the two that I thought of today was Luke 10:27, which has been quoted before as well, that says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." That was quoted as being the first and greatest commandment. And then in Matthew 28, verse 18, we've got the Great Commission. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So looking at that, church, I see what we're called to do is to love and to go, to make disciples, to bring people in, to share the love of Jesus with people and bring them to a saving knowledge of him. And before I joined Strathmore Christian Fellowship, I'd never been part of an independent church. And I've always thought of this church as being quite an eclectic bunch of people. I was saved in a Baptist church. I know there's other Baptist people within the congregation, but I know there are people who were Anglicans, who were Catholics, who were AOG, who are Brethren, just to name a few. But those labels don't matter at all. What matters is that Jesus died for each one of us, that we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and we stand together as brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter what our background is, our basic faith should be the same, that we all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's happened in the past is of no consequence. It's how we look to the future. And I had a conversation with my son this week as well, because he's got inspectors that have come into school. And as a probationary teacher, he wasn't looking forward to going back to school this week. But I was thinking too, what would happen if we had an inspection? If God was to come down and visit us and look at Strathmore Christian Fellowship? I was looking at the seven churches in Revelation. Would we be like the church in Ephesus, where they were said to have forsaken their first love? Would we be like Sardis, which said, "You have a reputation for being alive, but are dead. Wake up." Would we be like Laodicea, that was neither hot nor cold and got spewed out? I don't know. But including myself in it, if God was inspecting us, I think at the bottom of our report would be improvement needed or could do better. Sorry to put on such educational terminology, but that's what I've got in the family now. With three teachers in the family, I get teachers speak all the time when I'm speaking to them. So that's where I think I would place our church at the moment. Improvement needed or could do better. So we've started the voting process to put in a new leadership team. Whether we chose as elders the right way to do this or not, I don't know. But this is the first time since I've joined Strathmore Christian Fellowship that the membership have had the opportunity to nominate anyone as an elder, which I see as a step forward. rather than it just being the elders nominating elders. And again, we discussed it as well in care group. I think the verse that sticks in my mind at the moment too is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Come next week, Sunday, we will know who has been nominated by you as the people that you want to look to this church to take it forward. Pray about that. That's in God's hands. We're all in God's hands. God hasn't given up on us. I said earlier that I thought we were an eclectic bunch of people that's come together, that God brought us all together. He ordained us all to be here in this church. And I do believe that he's got plans for us for the future. He won't let us go. So, what's God going to do with us over the next while? What action is he going to make us take? Because it's not about sitting on our pews and being comfortable. It's about what we can do. But I think before that happens too, we have to see a time of healing, a time of reconciliation, and then we might get in the time of growth. We might be in the season at the moment where we are this dormant seed, as Jonathan was speaking about in winter time, ready to burst open. But that's something for us for the future. So let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for Strathmore Christian Fellowship. I thank you for all that it has done in the past. And I thank you for the plans that you've got for us for the future. Plans to prosper us. Lord, I just commit this week ahead into your hands as the membership continue to vote and as you produce the people that you want to use to move this church forward. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the peace that you give us. But most of all, Lord, thank you that you are God, that despite our efforts, you are in control, and your will be done, whatever that may be. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.